This podcast contains graphic descriptions of violent crimes, including murder, assault, and details of human suffering that may be disturbing to some listeners. If you or someone you know is struggling with these issues, please reach out to a trusted professional or crisis hotline for support. The following story is true. Please proceed with caution. Hello, you are listening to the Husband Did It podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mark. I am on with my co-host, Amy. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you very much, Mark.
How's everything
going? And Happy New Year.
Yeah.
It's been pretty good. I can't totally complain.
Good.
Except, you know, I did a little bit today earlier because my husband and I were trying to do some things and I tried to make it as easy as possible and it just blew up in my face. But other than that, there's been a lot of really good things that have happened today.
We're doing it right now. It's we've been developing this podcast for a little while. It's actually a two-part. A duo podcast?
Yeah.
It's two podcasts.
Like a duo sphere. Yeah.
So we
sister
have
sister podcast, if you will.
Brother and sister, or husband
brother
and wife.
Sister.
Husband and wife podcast.
That's right.
But except we're not. Like, yeah.
Right.
So that could confuse people.
Yeah, so, that could.
Yeah. So what we have is this particular podcast, which is The Husband Did It, which you can go to thehusbanddidit.com. But we also have the wifeisguilty.com, which is a whole other podcast hosted by us.
Yeah.
So, of course, on this podcast, we're going to focus with crimes where husbands, fiancés, boyfriends, love interests tend to be either guilty or alleged to be guilty. You know, a lot of the things we say are alleged, you know, we are, and on the other podcast, which you can absolutely go and check out, we of course do the flip side where the wife is guilty because, everybody gets their hands in the cookie jar, right?
They do.
So Amy and I are both criminologists. We study deeply in each and every case. We have a love and passion for true crime, and we also have a love and passion for the victims involved. And we love our victims. I think that's a weird thing to say it like that, but what I mean when I say that is we have a lot of respect for them. We have a lot of love for them, and we're always doing what we can to reach out and just kind of be as sympathetic as possible as we tell these true crime stories.
Yes. And it's, you know, it's good to get the story out there. Like if it's unsolved, you know, because somebody might be listening and somebody might have that one key piece of evidence, you know,
so
that
Amy,
we need to solve a case.
What case did we decide to start with today?
So we decided to cover Crystal Rogers, and this happened on July 5th, 2015 in Bardstown, Kentucky. Technically, she is still a missing person, but she has been declared dead.
I wonder if that's like for insurance reasons or for whatever
reason.
Because she does have five children, you know. So.
Correct.
You have to, it's pretty nuts. I've never been to Kentucky. Have you?
Me neither. Nope. I have not.
You know, looking around Kentucky, you know, and the real estate thing, it's what I tend to do very often. You can get into the market for about $200,000, a decent, you know, ranch, but you can also get estates and bigger houses. And, you know, it's all painfully affordable, believe it or not. I'm not really sure what type of economy Kentucky has. I just know them for their whiskey.
That is true, yes. I feel like just southern states, like, you know, southeast, like, you know, the Carolinas and stuff like that around there is just super affordable. Like, I live in Massachusetts. You live in New York. It's super expensive.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's ridiculous. And I have looked, you know, at real estate here, and I've looked, you know, in several states down south, and I'm just like, why?
It's bananas.
Well, it is. It's crazy.
So I live on Long Island. I live literally in the second highest real estate tax area in the nation, right behind, I believe it is Bergen County in New Jersey, where my sister-in-law lives. And yeah, so she's number one. I'm number two. You know, it's literally, our taxes are quite literally the price of a part-time job, you know, like it's, you know, for the year, it's bananas, but you know, it is what it is. It's enough to kill somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Our taxes just went up here. Our property taxes.
Yeah. They don't stop.
They don't.
But yeah, so Crystal Rogers, 35-year-old mother, she's from Bardstown, Kentucky. And like you said, July 3rd. So whenever I hear something happening around a major holiday, of course, in America, we have July 4th, Independence Day. And I tend to think that it had to do with, you know, drugs and alcohol. Or like family, you know, sometimes conflicts of like, I don't want this person coming over. We're just not really sure, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, there's a few cases that I can think of right off the top of my head that have occurred, you know, on like, you know, Memorial Day and Labor Day and 4th of July and stuff like that. And certainly, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, you know.
Yeah, so she vanished after a date with her boyfriend. We should mention that she's divorced. She had, I believe, three daughters and a son with her husband, divorced, but it was an amicable breakup. They remained I don't know about friendly, but they didn't.
They remained like cordial and like there was never any like, you know, disagreements over custody or anything. Yeah, that we know of.
I'm sure there was something. I mean, nobody.
Yeah.
So she would have another child with, his name is Brooks Hawk or Hauk.
Hauk.
And, you know, they had, I believe a daughter. I'm not 100% sure.
A son.
Son.
Eli. Okay. Yeah. He was two when she disappeared.
So yeah, vanished after a date with him. So her car was found abandoned with a flat tire, keys in a purse and her phone inside. And a lot of people thought this suggested kind of a staging, right?
Right. And also, let me mention that the seat in the car was pushed back almost all the way. And she was like 5'9", but like this would be like a person taller than that, like over 6 foot.
That's pretty tall though for a woman, 5'9". I'm 5'10".
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm 5'3". I'm that's very
like,
short.
No, I wouldn't say 5'3" is short. I think that's like your average female. I think 5'10" is average for guys.
Right. I agree. Yeah.
I'm 5'11" on a good day.
Yeah. So is Keith.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yep.
So yeah, I never feel like I'm painfully short or anything.
Yeah. And I enjoy wearing heels. So it's cool that I'm not short. You know, it's good.
You kick it up to 5'5", 5'6", you know. There you go.
Yep.
But there's a lot of, Hauk claimed, she left overnight, but there are a lot of inconsistencies and alibis. The data, on the cell phone doesn't really kind of add up. And there's witness testimony that leads to a bit of suspicions.
So let's talk about stage.
This is a very confusing case. And I have really to say, there are a lot of people involved.
There really are. And if you buy into, you know, the other provable murders that have taken place in Bardstown, that they are connected. Definitely her father. He was murdered while he was hunting with his grandson, his 11-year-old grandson.
But I can't figure out what happened. Like, did the grandson accidentally shoot him? Another hunter?
So what happened was
Tommy Ballard is the
name. It is. Name it's Tommy Ballard. Father. Yep. And so what happened was the edge of their property mm-hmm. was against the Bluegrass Parkway, which is where Crystal's car was found. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on this parkway. This is just one of them.
But there's like a connection to Brooke's brother, Nick, who possibly Correct. Have been associated to that shooting. There's a police Right. shooting in this. There is
Exactly.
so much. There is, what's his name? I have a list of all their names. It's like, holy, there's so many people.
I made a list too.
The people involved here are Crystal Rogers, Sherry Ballard, Tommy Ballard, Casey Ballard, Brooke Bryan, Michael Ballard, mm-hmm. Brooks Houck, Nick yep. Houck, Rosemary Houck, Stephen yep. Lawson, Joseph Lawson, Sheriff Ed Mattingly, Detective John Snow, John Ellis, mm-hmm. Shane Young. And I'm not saying that they're all involved in murder, but there's a lot of them that might be involved in a murder.
Right.
And there is a police shooting, which I right. just think is really, really shocking, because this is the Crystal Rogers focus, but right. nobody really talks too much about the fact that a police officer was ambushed.
Right. And like, that is one of the things that like I am like stuck on. And so how this all like connects for me, and this is kind of weird, but so the edge of the Ballards' property where they were hunting, and mm-hmm. it was early in the morning, like there's like just a line of trees between the parkway and their property. Well, someone like took a saw and cut a whole bunch of branches off of a tree, just one tree. And right. there's like a rifle butt kickback on that tree. That's where the shot came from. So mm-hmm. someone, and like, there was a white car. It's, you know, people all have different, you know, recollections, but people definitely saw a vehicle there around the early morning before Crystal's car was found, and the early morning when Tommy Ballard was shot.
Right.
And then when we go to Jason Ellis, who was murdered before, he was murdered in 2013. So this is before Crystal went missing.
Right.
Before Tommy got shot, but he was coming off of the Bluegrass Parkway, headed home from a shift. It was 2 a.m. He, you know, pulls onto the off ramp, and there are branches that cover like half of, you know, the road, so that, you know, anyone else could be able to drive around it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the branches were on the driver's side if you were going to drive around it. So, I watched the Oxygen, like 6-part documentary. Mm-hmm. And like they were saying, like exactly where these people were kind of like perched waiting for him. So he got out and started moving the branches. He never unholstered his weapon. You know, so he was moving the branches off of the road,
mm-hmm.
and he got shot by a shotgun. I think they said it was a 12-gauge shotgun.
So what I was thinking is like, all right, it's Kentucky. I'm a New Yorker. I'm thinking Kentucky, everybody's got a gun, right? Everybody's
right.
going hunting. You have to, you know, there's probably people going hunting and getting shot all the time. Like every other day it's happening. That's what I'm thinking, right?
Right.
But apparently accidental shootings during hunting season in Bardstown, Kentucky appear to be extremely rare.
Right. And also, I believe that Jason Ellis, the police officer, was killed in May. And as far as I know, that's not hunting season.
He was on May 25th. He was shot.
Mm-hmm. Like, but summertime, they say that, like, that's not hunting season. I don't know how true that is.
But there's a report of only 2 fatal hunting incidents per year.
Wow.
Right. And
for a place that I'm sure, like, people hunt like crazy.
But then I'm like, you know what? Maybe they hate the police. You know, there's a lot of, you know, areas of the country where there's a lot of turbulence. Right. So I looked this up, and the only police officer that was shot was in 2013, the ambush murder of Jason Ellis. That's it. So obviously it is, you know, a targeted attack.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But we don't really get much about it. There doesn't seem to be an investigation associated to Jason.
In the Oxygen special, which, like, such a wealth of information, like, and you know how they do that, like, they take, like, an investigative reporter and, like, a former homicide detective and whatever, and this was really good. I really liked it. And, you know, they get involved in a lot because the police really dropped the ball on Crystal's case. They didn't process her vehicle. They gave it back to the family. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, the homicide detective was like, this is it. Like, you know, he was like, you know, I expect to see, like, the rug from the trunk missing and, like, fingerprint dust everywhere. There was nothing. So he mentions it to one of the investigators that is working on these cases. And I guess in Kentucky, the whole state, you are only allowed to send to the crime lab 10 pieces of evidence. Hmm. And, like, that's ridiculous.
Well, I would think, and this is where I'm going to, like, say, well, maybe it's not that ridiculous. It's because if there's more than 10, it should trigger the FBI.
Right.
That's where I'm thinking that
that's rule actually comes not a from. Bad idea. So yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Because it's out of their hands. Come on. I mean, it's, you know, no offense to our Kentucky listeners. It's Kentucky. Right. You know, it would be the same thing in Nassau County where I live. And, you know, like, you know what? Maybe it's out of your hands. Maybe this is beyond your scope and you need, like, a federal investigator.
Yeah. They had gotten involved, I think.
Now, Crystal's car, I do want to mention, was found only 2 days after it went missing.
Yep.
So I wonder if they have a rule, like, it wasn't, yeah, they should have taken fingerprints. They should have processed the vehicle.
Yeah. But do they, like, have they those didn't, means? I'm not sure, but, like, so they, Oxygen had, like, this private, like, CSI team, like, he's kind of like a private investigator, but, like, with forensics, and he processed the car, and the amount of bags of evidence and everything,
right,
crazy. Like, they, you know, used luminol, they call it Blue Star,
but that's all I'm saying is, I'm not saying that this isn't totally the fault of local police, because that's something that you and I are going to get into hundreds of dozens of times,
right,
when the police tend to screw something up. You know, police, right, humans are humans. But, like, luminol and these things, it's a very expensive chemical. You have to have somebody who knows how to use it.
Right. And it's very toxic. So you have to have, like, the right, like, you know, face wear, because, if you inhale it, it's very, very toxic.
Wow.
But also, if you're using luminol, it's not just for blood. Like, it reacts with bleach.
Everything organic, right?
Right.
So semen, you know, and blood, even hair fibers or tears. I don't know if tears.
I'm not sure, but another thing that they do is, like, alternate sources of light. So they'll use, like, different, you know, like, they'll use, like, infrared light and, you know, like, a blue light, black light, whatever you want to call it. And that can also show you fluids, blood, semen, whatever.
Right.
So, and I would imagine that that's not like an extensive test. But
and also, I mean, maybe Crystal, I mean, we don't know a lot about the personal side of Crystal. One of the things that I found, and maybe what you investigated and what you read about was a little bit different, but I didn't get the impression, I didn't get an explanation about Crystal's relationship being whether it's turbulent or not. Yeah. I got that she's a wonderful person. She would help everyone out. We hear the same bullshit that we hear from everyone right. else. And it's, you know, of course you're not going to talk badly about the dead. And right. We don't know. I mean, for all we know, Crystal Rogers might've been kind of somebody who like, you know, it's the 4th of July, man. Maybe she just like kind of took a trip or something and vanished, or she got in a fight and she's like, I'm out of here or something like right. that. I don't know if that would warrant a complete investigation. I mean, you yeah. think it might because there are five kids involved.
Right. And I think like anything has the possibility to turn into a worse situation as far as cases go. It starts off as a missing person. It ends up being a murder or something. You want to have that evidence, mm-hmm. whether you send it in or not. Like, you can still just keep it, you know, in evidence and, you know, not necessarily test it until things develop a little
but
more.
But that costs money too. You know, like they have to store it. Right. They have to process right. it. It's, I don't know. I'm, you're right. I agree with you.
We're both right.
But we're also coming from the point of view of like, you know, a police test department with, you know, real budgets, you know.
Right. And this just wasn't that. And Crystal's case is actually handled by the sheriff's office of that county. It's Nelson County Sheriff's Office. And all the other cases are Bardstown local police. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it. You'd think that if it was like the county sheriff's office that they would have more resources. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually looking this up right now. I'm kind of curious how many people are on staff.
Yeah.
I bet you it's less than 15.
I would bet you're right.
Trying to find it. Here we go. 35 total people, 32 oh, wow. sworn officers and 3 civilian employees. I mean, we're talking, I mean, that's lean.
Right. It is. I don't really know how.
Population of 14,000 people.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
Oh, well, it's
not
bad.
That's not a good ratio.
The ratio is not good, but at the same time, it's not an area where there's high crime.
Right.
Again, there's been one police shooting
right.
in its existence. I mean, it doesn't bring up any. So I don't know. It's apparently it's typical for a department this size of the size of a in a small city. So right. I just think it's one of those things that it should have possibly triggered a federal response.
I agree with you there for a few reasons. Most of them I've already listed, you know, like when a case starts, you don't know how it's going to end. You don't know what kind of evidence you're going to need. But also like resources, like you need more resources. Like they, like Bardstown has become famous for like the 4 murders that nobody can solve, not including Crystal Rogers, because they don't consider that because mm-hmm. there's no body.
And I just looked this up. The FBI did not get involved in this case until August of 2020. So, you know, it's one of those crazy things.
It is.
You know, that's a very long time to have, all of, you know, sitting on a mountain of evidence. So
like 5 years and a month.
Yeah. So let's see, the body, I mean, just spoiler alert, her body is never found.
Never ever.
There are a lot of theories that it's possible
the Houck family farm.
That they shaved her head, removed the teeth, and fed her to the pigs.
Oh my God, I never heard that.
That's what I heard. Pigs cannot eat hair. Or rather, they can eat it, but they can't digest it.
Yeah. I feel like that's all mammals, though.
It's bananas, you know? And
yeah,
I have to say, you know, not to be gruesome here, not to be very graphic, if you just give me a pile of some teeth and hair, you can get rid of that. I mean...
Right. And I mean, there is an inmate that does contact the... Her name is Stephanie, the investigative reporter in this oxygen doc. And he, like, has a wealth of information. And he had said, like, that he knows everyone who's involved with these murders. Like,
what is the mother and people when they go to jail?
I know.
I forget what I was watching the other day, and it was like, it was horrific. It was, it might be the launch of one of our side shows, which all of our shows are side shows, where I believe a mother, this is a terrible case, and I don't have the name in front of me, but a mother, shot her, I think, 6-year-old son to death while he's in his car seat.
Good
and God. Got pulled over by police. So, you know, I watch a lot of body cam stuff. And she's pulled over and watching the body cam, the whole back window's blown out. There's no tire on the front left wheel. She comes out, she's all, I wouldn't say she's methed out. I would say that she's more tweaking a little bit. And she's like so sketchy and everything. And they find, they let her go. They're like, all right, well, but you're being that this is such a sketchy situation, we're going to process your car because we see, you know, evidence of blood and everything. And they let her go home, which is crazy. They open up the trunk after she's already home and they find the body of her son with the head blown off. Terrible.
Oh my God. I don't know how parents do that. I really don't. Like, I know that there's mental illness and such, and, you know, drugs and alcohol and whatever, but that's just horrific.
She was denying it to her to the very end.
That's
for the Mother Did It podcast.
Yeah, right. And then there's The Child Did It. No, just kidding. Not yet.
Well, no. Well, you know, the...
Right. We talked about it a little bit.
We will be expanding these things because it does kind of fall into it. The only thing I'll put my foot down on is the Ice Cream Man. The Ice Cream Man did it. It's just not a show I have any interest doing.
Oh my God.
We laugh, but we cry. I think we laugh because otherwise you think about these things and you're like, oh,
seriously. Man,
humanity is
it's gone. A dark, ghastly thing sometimes, but I don't know. This is like one of my life's passions. Yeah. So we're just weirdos. But everybody listens.
Thankfully, the FBI got involved in 2020.
Yeah.
So after a couple years of investigating, they found that... Oh, well, I'm sorry. That's why I brought it up, because the guy... you're saying that the person who's the cellmate, learned everything. And in this case with the mother, she's denying it. Then she goes to jail... She tells the whole thing to some, you know, methany, you know?
Yeah.
And, it's just one of those crazy things. It's like, what?
That is crazy.
Like, you kept your secret for so long. You think, like, this person who you don't even know is a criminal is going to keep your secret and not negotiate it?
Yeah. So this inmate, like, he had hinted that he was, like, involved in organizations, so he knows a lot of stuff. He did also say that he was in prison for something he didn't do. I believe him, and I'll tell you why. So Crystal's brother, Casey, and her either mother or father were going to meet this inmate. They were going to the prison to visit him. They get there, he was moved the day before because they knew about the meeting. Now,
interesting.
The retired homicide detective, his name is Dwayne Stanton, and the investigative reporter, her name's Stephanie Bauer, they make plans to visit this inmate. They get there. He was moved the day before. Now, this is years later.
So not just moved within the facility, moved out of the facility.
Moved completely out of the facility at least twice. Mm.
Informant, that has to be an informant, right?
I mean, maybe, but he also said that, like, he had reached out to law enforcement at some point, and he never said who he spoke with, but they were trying to get him to confess to Crystal's murder or, you know, whatever. And he was like, I'm not doing that. Like, I did not do this. I just know of the people who did this. But he reported that Crystal was dismembered and taken to a location White Mill, Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
And burned.
Okay.
And this property, it was a garage, like a, you know, an auto repair center and a junkyard. And they find this place and it is indeed burned to the ground. And you, like, the remnants are still there, like all those years later. And they had looked up the property, and the first time that there was a fire there was in 2016. So like the year after Crystal went missing. Mm. So, you know, if she was somewhere else and was moved, that's happened before. You know, like maybe she was kept somewhere and then moved. You know, I don't know. But I mean, they also searched this huge lake that was right near the Houck family farm. And they had cadaver dogs. And every time they go there, and they've gone there like, I don't know, 4 or 5 times maybe, mm-hmm. the dogs, they use 2 different dogs. Like one goes out, does their thing, indicates, and then the other team goes and they don't know where the previous dog has alerted because they don't want to like influence the dog. And they kept alerting in the same spot.
So is this when the FBI searched the property and they found items of interest in concrete?
No.
Okay.
This is like the sheriff's office, and then on the oxygen documentary. What in the hell?
Because the FBI found items of interest in concrete on the property, on Houck's property, between 2020 and 2021.
So the oxygen series was in 2018.
Okay.
So that's when, yeah.
It's interesting that they have, like, over and over again some type of thing. I do want to mention that also there's Nick Houck, who was a police officer, who was fired for interfering in the interview when his brother was brought in as the prime suspect.
Yep.
And there's a lot of corruption. He
picks up the phone. This is so stupid. He picks up, Brooks Houck picks up the phone. He's, like, mid-interview with the cops. And he's like, I know you didn't know I was here. Like, what? Mm. Like, this is obviously a staged call. It's like, you know, when you go on like a blind date or whatever, if you tell your friend to call you 10 minutes in.
Right.
Like, that's pretty much what this kind of was. And so, gets off the phone with his brother and he tells the detective, you know, he thinks you're trying to F me over and he wants me to leave. So he leaves. And right after that, both Brooks Houck and Nick Houck in his police cruiser go to the farm. Okay. A week later, they asked Nick Hout to come in for an interview, and he said no. And the chief of the Bardstown police
office. So it's Nick. Nick, the yep. No, is this after he's been fired already?
No, this is what got him fired. He told the detectives he wasn't, like, he had no information.
He wasn't going to cooperate.
Right, he wasn't going to. And so, you know, the chief of police was like, if you are asked to participate in an interview as a police officer, you go.
Now, I don't know how it is in Kentucky. So the police officers may not have a union. I'm not really sure. But, you know, just like a teacher's union, the police unions are probably the most powerful in the country. So I have to wonder, you know, he must have, if he was in a union, he would have had some. He would have been, they would have said, you have to, like, you know, like an internal investigation type of thing. Even
for
that.
Internal affairs.
Yeah. Like even that would trigger some type of federal.
You'd think.
I would imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like he goes in for the interview and he takes a polygraph and whatever polygraph, you know,
I feel like we both feel
the same way. Yeah, basically.
It's such a waste of time. Like
It is.
Literally Scientology. It is. It's the same thing as what the Scientologists use.
I know. Yeah. Oh, when I ever found out about that, I was like, oh God, like, but.
Well, I've done that. I've gone to the Scientology building in LA.
Really?
Yeah. Back in like 2000. And you know, I went in there and I was, I went through the first stages of it. It's interesting. You know, I think Scientology is an interesting religion, you know, but it's not something that really kind of grabbed me as a Jew.
Right.
I don't know. I can choose either the newest religion or the oldest. I'll stick to the oldest.
Right. I'm like a spiritualist. Hindu.
There you go. Not Hindi. Hindu.
Not Hindu. Hindu. Yes.
Yeah. I grew up with a lot of religions. So, I mean, that's something we'll talk about also in the future.
Yeah. Like, I am a recovering Christian of several denominations. So,
there you go.
Yeah. Nick failed two questions. Do you know where Crystal Rogers is? And something. Do you know what happened to two questions that were about Crystal that he failed?
Oh, did Crystal beg for her life knowing that she had five children to come home to?
Yeah, something like that. So
I don't know if that's, that's.
Yeah, I don't think that's it. It was just something I had it written down.
It's all right.
So he starts like swearing at the polygrapher, you know, and whatever. And
well, those questions are meant, of course, to trigger. They're like, oh, do you love your mother? You know, and it's like,
right. Yeah, they start with like control questions, or they're supposed to, like, is your name Nick Hout?
You fuck chickens? You know, it's kind of like, what? It's meant to, like, you know, twist you up where it's like, what?
Right. Yeah. And it's like,
why? Yeah, I do.
What
does the hen look like?
Oh my God.
Kidding around. Although I do love, I love a good poultry rotisserie from Costco.
I used to work at Shaw's in the deli, and we used to have to like put the chickens on this huge skewer.
Yeah.
And it was a god awful task. And like every time I had to do it, I was like,
you don't look too close. You know, you just.
Yeah. So after this, Nick Houck was fired. And that brings me to some questions that Duane Stanton was asking in this Oxygen documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense because Nick Houck was a Bardstown police officer, and Jason Ellis was a Bardstown police officer. They had worked together on some things. I don't think they were partners. And then Dwayne asked if Nick Houck was working the night that Jason Ellis was killed. And he was not.
Mm.
So that kind of leaves him blowing in the wind. And I did forget one other thing. So Nick Houck's interview and polygraph was a week after Brooks walked out. Mm-hmm. And they both went to the farm. So they're asking him what they did at the farm. I don't know. Like, I know that me and my brother went there, but I don't know what happened. Okay. So that's suspicious. And then, so on the night before Crystal disappeared, when they were coming home from their date night at the farm, he got a phone call at a little past midnight, and it was an associate, a work associate, they say. And, you know, they asked him what they talked about. He's like, I don't remember. So he calls the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, do you remember what we talked about that night? And he was like, yeah, I was asking you about numbers for, like, you know, properties and use. And Brooks is like, what did I say? And he goes, well, you said that Crystal handles all that, so you would talk to her and get back to me. It's very apparent to the detectives that this was also a staged phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he hangs up this phone, and this is a great question that Brooks has no answer for, he said, if Crystal handles that, wasn't she in the truck with you driving home that night? That's no answer. Yeah. So every time, like, he was interviewed, like, on the phone on Nancy Grace Live. Every time anyone calls him, this happened on the Oxygen documentary as well. He's like, that's a great question. And, like, he goes on and on and on about why it's a great question. And then, like, directs people to, like, Sherry Ballard, Crystal's mom. Like, you know, she can, you know, she'll be more than happy to answer your questions, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, but we asked you.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so he stalls, and, like, it's like painful to listen to.
Yeah.
Because he's so clearly, like, desperately trying to grab at something to say. And he's got nothing. He's a terrible liar, which is good. But yeah, you know, not remembering, you know, as soon as you had your brother leave the interrogation and you guys went to the farm together,
mm-hmm.
you don't know what you guys did. I would say that that's a day that you would remember, right? But
so that all took place. The investigation was taking place at what point in this? Is this when it was reignited in 2020?
Nope. I think this was very close to the beginning.
So they have a polygraph, but they don't have luminol. That's funny.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, so you have Scientology, but you don't have chemical evidence. So that kind of goes back to my, like, all right, well, you definitely employ somebody who can run the polygraph, but you don't have somebody who can do, like, a proper investigation. So that's kind of interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. And so they, in her car, like, they left the keys that were in the ignition. They left her phone. Like, why wouldn't you take her phone? They took Brooks's phone, Nick's phone,
mm-hmm.
and got, like, those records. Like, why would you not take Crystal's phone?
So the other people who start getting involved, although they're unindicted, but they're considered a co-conspirator, is Rosemary Houck, which is Brooke's the mom. Mom,
right?
Yeah, Brooke's mother. And she had a disdain for Crystal. And, you know, in general, like, there's also a burner phone that was floating around. I'm not sure whose it is.
I want to say Lawson, Stephen Lawson.
Mm-hmm. But it had to do with Rosemary, because I don't know if Crystal used the burner phone or Rosemary used it, but Rosemary basically had a disdain for Crystal and the use of burner phone. So I think there's evidence out there to show, to state that Crystal used a burner phone at some point. And you know what?
Yeah.
For all we know, she was having an affair, but that doesn't mean that you get killed. You don't get murdered for that.
It also was, you know, alleged that Brooks was having an affair. And I think that that was proven.
Mm-hmm.
Another weird thing is, so, this is crazy. So, when the oxygen thing was going on, so like 2018, he, like they have, you know, like signs everywhere, like bring Crystal home and, you know, just a whole bunch of stuff. And they started disappearing, like when they reignited the case. And people like found them like ripped up and stuff like that. And come to find out, it was Brooks Houck's new girlfriend, Crystal Dawn Maupin. Crystal. Weird.
Yeah, so another Crystal.
Right. And she was going around town tearing down, you know, all the like posters and things like that. And it's like, why do you care if you don't think that your new boyfriend is involved?
So, what? I mean, it's a very strange case because, like, it wasn't really going anywhere until the FBI came in, which I've said over and over again, which is kind of, you know, but once they did, they went through everything. I think for about 2 years they went through it. And there were also like family appeals that kind of brought it, and as well as the 2018 Oxygen series that you mentioned. So, so the FBI in shame came to and said, all right, well, fine, we'll look into it. So there was a special prosecutor and indictment in 2023 in January of 2023, and they appointed Shane Young as the special prosecutor.
Yeah.
And that was the person who revitalized the probe. So let's see, we would, with tips and different cooperation of people. I mean, this is already a decade old, this case.
Right.
You know, people are already misremembering everything, you know, a couple of days later, and we're talking a decade.
Right.
Exactly. But it does lead to Joseph Lawson's indictment of conspiracy and tampering.
Yeah.
And this flipped the Lawsons. Stephen Lawson, all of a sudden there was an admission that implicated Houck, leading to his September arrest and Stephen's December arrest. So, I mean, it's amazing. One person falls and it's like the domino effect. Everybody just falls.
Right.
Everybody's like pointing at each other.
Right.
And that brings us to current, well, almost current, 2025, where there is a trial.
Yeah.
Where Stephen Lawson gets 17 years.
Yeah. Brooks gets life, I believe.
Yeah, let's see.
But I believe that he appealed or is appealing.
They're always going to appeal for the rest of their lives, I'm sure. But his conviction included his testimony about staging the car in the cleanup. We're talking about Stephen Lawson at this point. This bolstered case against Houck and Joseph Lawson. It's just basically building up this case. And let's see, and this is just this past summer. It featured cell phone data, witness testimony on the motives, stage car evidence and inconsistencies. They brought in, the fact that there was no DNA, there was no body, which I just think is strange. You know, to convict somebody for murder when there's no body is
that's the feat.
Yeah. So let's see. So yeah, Hauk got murder and tampering. He got life, as you stated. And Joseph got for conspiracy and tampering. At the very end, he ended up getting 25 years.
Yep.
So I don't. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So yeah, there are appeals. Convictions prompted immediate appeals.
Yeah.
Wrongful death suit and prison transfers are followed.
Yeah.
There was something just yesterday, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to see if I could find this audio thing where Brooke Hulk was transferred. I'm going to play it. It's a 26-second thing from Fox 56 News.
Brooks Howell, the man accused of murdering his girlfriend, Crystal Rogers, has been transferred to a different prison. Hauk was behind bars at Big Sandy Regional Detention Center in Johnson County after being transferred from Oldham County Detention Center back in November. Yesterday, Hauk was transferred to Roederer Assessment Center, which is also in Oldham County. Hauk has been sentenced to life in prison for the disappearance of Rogers.
Roke. I don't know what that was. It's like Roke. So he's still in the news, you know, and it's so he got life. I don't know how old he is, maybe in his 40s.
Yeah.
Everybody maybe is a bit in their 40s. I'm not really sure how old everyone is. But, so, you know, that brings us to, you know, where we stand with it all. I think there are a lot of people who are involved in this case that did not get involved. They didn't get anything. They just kind of got away with it. The mother is on the phone. I don't know if you've heard this. They did a wiretap, which I'm not really.
I feel like.
What the hell's a wiretap? Like, it's.
So it's when they.
I mean, I know what it is, but it's.
I don't know why they call it a wiretap.
But it's not. Like, they. Basically, it's like taking a microphone and recording the house two doors down from me. It's the worst audio I've ever heard in my life. It's, I don't understand what this is. Now, are they talking about a different type of wiretap? I don't think so. Wiretaps used to be tapping your phone line.
Right.
But this is not that. This is like hidden microphone in your butt.
Oh, so like they wired someone like to go talk to her.
Yeah, but this, it's just the person.
Or is this like her phone call type of thing?
Yeah, maybe it's the phone call. I don't know, but it's like talking like this. It's like what?
Yeah, I hate, especially like when then like people play it on like podcasts or whatever, because I'm like, what?
Yeah.
The hell did they just say? I don't know anything they just said.
I watched this YouTube video where they were playing just the audio. I'm not even going to play it here because it was so bad. And it's like, it's literal noise and there's subtitles. And it's like, are you sure that's what she said? Because I don't hear
it. Oh my God, right? Because I've seen stuff like that and I'm like, that doesn't sound like what was said.
Yeah, I don't. But
at the same time, like, I really can't. Make out.
That's why I don't like subtitles on things that are important like that, because you know it's kind of like is the dress gold or blue or whatever that is.
I remember that.
But, you know, it's kind of like one of these things where if you put it into your mind, all of a sudden, you know, you're losing, you're being set up a little bit, and I don't really care for that. I don't need to be told what it says. I should be able to hear what it says. So exactly. I don't care for that. But the mother's basically stating really nothing, but she made it seem as though there was an allegation that she knew what was going on. This was maybe a day after Crystal went missing about blankets in the car.
I was just going to say that. So Nick Hauk in his police vehicle had a blanket in the trunk that had like fluids on it.
Yeah.
That is all that they said. So I don't know what came of it.
Yeah.
You know, he denied. Yeah. I mean, really.
But just saying you have a blanket, I mean,
yeah, it's very strange. Very strange.
Yeah. I don't know why that would be used as evidence personally.
Yeah. and it was in his trunk. And why would you carry around possible evidence, if it is, in your police car in the trunk? Weird. Another thing, and then I'm done, is a lot of people have come forward to say that they saw Crystal's car abandoned on the parkway, like around 10 o'clock that Friday night. So when they were still at the farm. So if that's the case, and a lot of people have, and they're pretty credible people. And so if that's the case, definitely staged. And what, like, did Crystal even leave the farm? You know, was she with him when he drove home?
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever learn. I think
no, that... the windows were tinted on his truck, so you couldn't see who was in the vehicle.
I think the theory of them feeding her to the pigs is the probably, to me anyway, the most valid. It's because they'll eat
they've the bone, searched they'll eat everything everywhere. They've searched everywhere else, you know. Like, there's nowhere else for them to go. They have taken, you know, cadaver dogs to so many different places.
And if you burn, they've
sifted through ash.
If you, burn a body, it's going to leave some level of DNA, unless you're bringing it up to like 5,000 degrees or something ridiculous.
In which case you would need to like run a funeral
like home, a furnace,
crematorium. Like, yeah.
It's easier to just dismember the body in like a and put everything in a plastic bag and let them go at it and then burn the bag.
Yeah. Or
then kill the pig and then burn the pig. I don't know. Like, it's.
Oh God. Right.
Remember that next time you have bacon or sausage.
Right. Oh, God. I just made it for breakfast this morning. I try not to think about it.
No,
I
like
animals way too much. But I have heard of people, you know, dismembering a body, putting the body parts in several different bags, and then just kind of going around town, putting one bag in one dumpster, another one in another.
I think that's stupid.
I think it's stupid too.
I mean, that's like you're begging to get caught.
Right. It gives you, it gives you more chances to get caught. Like, if they find one body part, like that's enough to start an investigation.
And also, I mean, I don't want to give advice to murderers, you know, like I despise these people, but it seems to me that the downfall very often is loose lips, you know, like you want to boast, hey, what are you in for? I did this.
Yep.
You know, just maybe say you blew through some stop signs, you know, like, I don't know.
Right. Like, yeah. So.
Or make up an entirely false story, you know?
Right. Exactly. So that inmate actually.
You know what I'll say? I shot Lincoln. Then everybody just leaves you alone. Like, what the hell is this guy's out of his mind?
Like, oh my God. Psyche Val.
Thank you.
So the inmate said that loose ends were tied up, which is why, like, nobody is talking. Like, hitmen were hired to kill, like, the killers of Tommy, Jason, and the mother and daughter. The Netherlands, that was in 2014 in July. And it was most likely a gang initiation, those two.
So gang in Kentucky?
Yeah, I guess they could be anywhere, but.
It's kind of like when I was spending a lot of time in LA, where I would go there and I'd meet somebody and they're like, oh, you're from New York. I'm like, yeah. Like, whereabouts? I'm like, well, I work in Manhattan. Oh, and they think I'm tough, you know, and it's like you get automatic street cred. So I could probably move to Kentucky and they'll probably make me the gang leader.
Right.
Then they'll cut my throat.
Probably
being a city boy. I think I have a very different view of Kentucky. I'm sure Kentucky's beautiful.
What I've seen, you know, of when I was watching this documentary. Like, it's really beautiful. And I mean, it's just sad because, you know, nobody really feels safe there and nobody wants to talk. Like, they interviewed Jason Ellis's wife, his widow, his sisters, his mother. And like, they all have like the same thought, but nobody would say, and, you know, nobody feels safe. Like, there were people who like wanted to talk to, you know, the investigative reporter and the retired homicide detective, and like, people were asking, you know, to meet in some undisclosed location outside of Bardstown, to have their like voices, you know, altered and stuff like that. Like, people are freaking terrified in this town.
But, you know,
I mean, I don't blame them.
Like, we're both parents, you know. And I think that, God forbid, something like this were to happen, we would want to be as strong as Crystal's mother, Sherry Ballard.
Oh my God, I know that woman.
She became an advocate for all of this. She, if it was not for her and her passion and her need for answers, none of this, it would have just been gone. And finally, you know, this past September, she finally walked out of court, you know, with a smile. You know, how it's such a sad thing to have to smile about, you know.
I know.
And but God bless her. And
she is the sweetest lady, seriously.
But it's 10 years of waiting, you know.
And I know.
She deserves to be able to smile.
Right. Because, I mean, her daughter disappears and, like, her husband was instrumental in like the early investigation. And that's why he's killed. Yeah. Like, he had this box full of stuff. Sherry won't let it out of her sight. So like, the people doing the Oxygen documentary, like, they had to like, you know, make copies with her. And, you know, he was getting very close. And he actually told someone not very long, like maybe a month or so before he was killed, that this goes way deeper and way beyond Kentucky.
And this also,
I don't know what that means.
Now, of course, the podcast is called The Husband Did It. And this will end up not being the husband, but the boyfriend. And we'll venture outside of that. But, you know, for the most part, we'll be focusing on, at least at first, husband situations. But in this particular case, I think with a lot of cases, you do get a parent who gets really, really involved and becomes an advocate for justice. Somebody, this woman, I just wanted to read this. I see this on Facebook, if you don't mind me just reading it. It's by someone named Shannon Spaulding. And Shannon, if you're out there, she posted this 14 weeks ago on a post about Crystal Rogers. And Sherry Ballard is the embodiment of strength and resilience. Even in the face of unimaginable heartbreak, the loss of both her daughter and her husband, she has stood unwavering, refusing to let tragedy silence her. Her courage and determination to fight for justice reflect not only her deep love for her family, but also her unyielding spirit. Sherry is a testament to the power of hope, perseverance, and the fierce devotion of a mother and a wife who will never stop seeking the truth. I hope Shannon is not an AI, because that was really well written. But
it was, and it's so true.
It's true.
Like, her mother is unbelievable. You know, she is still just so, I don't know. She's just got the cutest voice, and she's just so sweet. And it's like, God, everything that happened to this poor woman, you know, her daughter disappears, her husband gets shot, you know, a year and a half ish later.
Yeah.
And, you know, she is unwavering. Like, she was on, you know, every search when they were going through like the ashes and all that. And she's like, I just hope I have my answer. But like, she is conflicted because, like, obviously she wants closure, but she also doesn't want to find her daughter dead.
Yeah. Well, I think at this point, like, you know she's dead.
Exactly. Maybe, nobody can disappear for that. Maybe a part of
you, you know, it's like, you're not going to be like, yippee, But you'll be like, yeah, right. Thank God. You know, like I can finally put right. her like, to like, rest.
Right. And, you know, closure is bullshit, if you ask me. It just, it's not a thing. Like, you just kind of learn to carry these things, and it changes over time. You know, you learn to live with it and stuff. But, you know, I could never imagine not knowing what happened to a family member of mine if they just disappeared and never were yeah. heard from ever. Like, I, yeah. nope.
It's amazing.
I don't know how anybody does it.
I do want to just mention a little bit more about our podcast and the ideas that we have coming up. And one of the things that you and I love to do is watch documentaries about true crime. Yeah. And we, I just watched one that I do want to bring up in just a second. I think it's a fascinating thing. I think it might even fall into either the wife is guilty or the husband did it, but I think it's up for debate. So maybe it'd even be a crossover episode. But I do want to mention that we are going to be releasing a couple of more interactive things, things that a couple podcasts do, but no one's going to do it quite the way that Amy and I are deciding to do this. And that's going to be a Book of the Month Club.
Yes.
As well as a documentary of the month club, where at the yeah. end of that month, we're going to discuss the book as a podcast. It'll be a true crime book, you know, and it'll also be a true crime documentary.
Absolutely.
We're still kind of going back and forth, like, all right, which one, you know, like, we'll figure this out. But the documentary I brought up, and I don't know if you'd seen it, it took place here on Long Island. It's called The Secrets We Bury. And it's, I believe, was it HBO? One of these. I think it was HBO. And it is essentially about this, I don't want to give away the whole story, but it's essentially about somebody's father who went missing in the 60s, I believe. And mm-hmm. basically they, it's a big story, actually, so it's not too much. It's not really giving away too much, but essentially, they find his body buried under their house.
Oh, dear Lord.
About how many, a couple of years ago. And it was big news here on Long Island.
Disappeared. It's
and we're talking, this documentary is everything. This story is everything. It has, it has affairs. It has abuse. It has psychics that actually brought to the table answers. And I think this would be a really great documentary of the month for either now or in the future. I don't know.
And that sounds great.
It's a pretty good one. Now, you told me to watch a documentary, which I
ended up hating, I'm and then going liking. To totally blame this on my best friend Jill. This is all your fault,
Jill.
We are literally the same. We met in seventh grade. We've been friends ever since. We're now 38. It's been 26 years,
and now the friendship's over.
It'll never be over. But she was like, this great thing, Murder in Monaco.
Yeah, but you sold it to me as this great thing too.
Yeah, because I was only halfway through it.
And it was good. It was good. Because there's a lot of unanswered questions.
But it went sideways. Like, it said the end. Until
I tell you all the stuff that I didn't tell you about an hour ago.
Right. My God, I was so
Murder in Monaco. Entertaining, very entertaining. Entertaining. Not too much drone footage. And but it leaves so much on the table. It's a shame. It's a sad story.
It is. If they had left it at the end, I would have been here for it. Mm. But oh God, like I couldn't even believe how it ended.
What? So, all right, let's just talk about this for a couple of minutes. And so in the Murder of Monaco, essentially a nurse is found guilty for starting and causing a fire that would lead to the death of his employer. I mean, that's essentially it. And he's a total billionaire, crazy, in Monaco.
Like the richest man in Monaco. Rich. And apparently it's like the playground for the rich and famous, whatever.
What the hell was this guy's motive? He was making more money than I make. He was making what I count to be $3,000 a week and then $10,000 on top of that every month.
A month stipend.
So we're talking essentially, what is that, $24,000 a year? I mean, $24,000 a month.
Oh, yeah. Like, what would then be the motive? I don't know. But he just, oh, I was so on his side until the end. And I was like, oh my God.
But wait, we were misled by the documentary.
We were extremely misled. Like, you know, this nurse who was a medic and a Green Beret and the whole nine. And, you know, this guy that he ended up working for felt comfortable because, like, he was a nurse, but also kind of like a bodyguard.
The Secrets We Bury does not end with this type of situation. So, do you mind if we pick that for the next,
Sure, yeah.
All right, good.
Yep.
So we will regroup here in a couple episodes and, we won't talk about it. Let's not talk about it until we go to discuss it.
Yep. Sounds good.
That's our, like our rule. We don't discuss these cases until...
Yep.
We put the facts there.
Yep.
But yeah, I look forward to it. But Amy, I want to thank you so much. People should head on over to thehusbanddidit.com. Check out our other podcast called The Wife is Guilty. We you know what? We have a podcast whether you love men or women or neither.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's a shocking sad case with the disappearance of Crystal. We hope that her family is, of course, healing now that there's a little bit more closure.
Yep.
It would be nice if it were to come out where they say what they did.
Yep. I would love that. And, you know, there's a lot of times when, like, families ask the DA for leniency if, you know, they tell them where their loved one is or what they did.
There is a moment, you know, I'm sorry, go on.
And, you know, if it brings, you know, that answer, I'm for it, you know, as much as I am appalled and disgusted by what people do to each other, you know, to have that knowledge that, you know what happened and then you can deal with it and move on instead of just being in this not knowing. I feel like that's probably the worst situation a human being can be in, not knowing something like that.
Now in the documentary, The Secrets We Bury, which just so happens to be our first documentary of the month, I might've mentioned there's a moment like that where the person's on their deathbed and they could have revealed what is up and they don't.
But they didn't.
And it's infuriating. It, you know, well, you got to watch it. See what you think.
Oh, I'm going to. That's what I would be watching this evening.
We do have a Discord set up, which I don't know how to invite people to, but we will figure that all out and get it out there for people. We do not have a Facebook presence for this podcast, but people can head on over to unsolvedmysteriesrewind.com and for the moment anyway, and we'll establish something. We'll figure it all out.
Yeah. And, you know, we can post the Discord link on the websites we have.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea.
The Wife is Guilty.
You know, your husband Keith was kind enough to set up the Discord for us. And Keith, if you're listening,
everything to us.
I have to thank you very much for doing that still. I've not had the opportunity to really dive into it. We're recording this on the first of the year. So, I mean, we're dedicated here. And
we really are.
But, Amy.
Well, Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. It's too late. We can't wish it now.
Yeah, I know. Whatever.
I think it's how many days? What is it? 4 days? You can't say Happy New Year's after 4 days. So we're still in the safe bubble. I wouldn't do it after 4 days. January 4th, you can't say Happy New Year anymore.
All right.
That's my rule.
And it is so past.
There you go. I have a bell here somewhere. All right. I have to get a new one of those. It broke. So yeah, thank you very much, Amy. I do look forward to the next one.